You'd like to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start there in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's good to see everyone with us here today. If you're visiting here with us, or maybe this is your first time with us, we want you to know that you are a welcomed guest. If you see something or hear something that maybe sparks a question, then give us an opportunity to answer the question. And maybe we can sit down together and have a study of the wonderful Word of God. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning, is what we would normally call the idea of Bible study. Now, if it would make sense if you stop and consider, we are coming together to worship God, so we would need to know about Him, how to worship Him, what He teaches, and understand the background of everything that He has created and all that He has done for us. And there is a tendency at times, I say a tendency, maybe call it a temptation, to want to be sufficient or to be content with just a very cursory knowledge of it. Well, I understand the basic scheme of the Bible. God created everything, created man and woman. There's a devil. I believe in Jesus. And I hear about church sometimes, so I think I got a good grasp of it. The thing is there's so much more to the story. You think about what John said, and we'll come back to this a little bit later. John, in the beginning of his Gospels, he wrote, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If we are going to be worshipers of God, if you have obeyed the Gospel's call into salvation, you are now a child of God. If that's your current status and where you should be, then you need to know about God. And the only way to do that is to study His Word. Now, someone says, yeah, but the Bible is so thick. I have to have bigger Bibles because the eyesight's not as great as it used to. Several years ago, I bought a handy-dandy Bible, $9 ESV, and the print's like this little. It'll go in my pocket, Old Testament, New Testament. Can't read that anymore. And so it seems kind of daunting to look at it and say, yeah, but there's so much there. I made the other day I picked up Ezekiel and got scared away and didn't want to read anymore. Bible study, and especially if we can make this a daily basis, helps us to gain knowledge and understanding and a greater appreciation, not simply for God Himself, but for all that He has done for us and desires of us. Peter makes a statement in 2 Peter 2. We'll be turning to Timothy here in just a moment. But 1 Peter chapter 2, notice what Peter writes. He says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speakings," he says, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now notice that. He tells us to lay aside all the hindrances, those things that would stop us from understanding the Word of God, and desire, as newborn babes, the sincere milk of His Word that we may grow thereby. Now, whether we're talking to someone who's a new convert, maybe someone who's even not yet become a Christian, or someone who's been a Christian and is mature in the Word of God, the desire still must be there. Later in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, notice here that Peter, as he ends this epistle, he says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Then he says, "To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." But see, the instructions grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in order to do that, we need to sit down with His Word. We need to know His Word. We must all seek to come to an understanding, to a knowledge of what God's Word has to say for us. And the way that we do this is not simply going to church on Sunday and going on Wednesday night and maybe opening up your Bibles then. It's us being in His Word every day of our lives, making the time daily to study His wonderful word. So let's talk about why we should desire, or I should say, what does that look like in our life of daily Bible study? Well, let's start with the first part of this acronym, if you would. With the D, we're going to talk about diligently. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Never look at the Word of God as something that requires no attention within your life, that really, I'm not really interested in it, or I like certain books of the Old Testament, certain books of the New Testament. I just don't spend that much time in his study. I don't find it interesting. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy here, and this is very significant. Starting there, let's start back in verse 14. We'll go back one verse earlier than what I have on the chart. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what is this verse primarily stating here? Well, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. Have you done that? Are we doing that? Are we working to present ourselves approved unto God? Well, how do we do that? What is God looking for, if you would? Well, notice what Paul says in the text. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now, in the case of Timothy, he was an evangelist. He preached the word of God. So it was absolutely necessary for him to be able to rightly handle the word of truth. But there's nothing in the scriptures that would even remotely hint that someone who is not an evangelist does not carry the responsibility of being able to rightly handle the word of truth. This is necessary if we want to be approved unto God. Now, verse 16, he does say to stay away from some things. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And the message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have spread concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, but they overthrow the faith of some. Now, notice that last statement there. He says, they overthrow the faith of some. How is this done? They overthrow the faith of some because the some that he's talking about, these people, did not shun profane and idle babblings. They did not strive to present themselves approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And then he says there in verse 18, or verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. Now notice this. This is what we're striving for, to be a part of this. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is what we're striving for. We're striving for God's approval. We are striving to be those who name the name of Christ. We depart from iniquity. But the only way that we can be found approved in God's sight is to become workers who have no reason to be ashamed because we're able to rightly handle the word of truth. In order to do this, we have to be exercised in the truth. That is to say, we need to study it. You know, someone says, yeah, but you know, my life is very, very busy, and so I don't always have the time to be able to dedicate time every day to an in-depth study. Well, take the time to read something. Read some scriptures. If you follow along in a daily Bible reading schedule, then do that. The point is, don't let a day go by that you don't spend some time in His Word. If you can make the time for a more in-depth study, that's great. But at least spend time in His Word so that you are familiar and you continue to grow. One of the hardest things, and everyone's personality is a little bit different, but one of the hardest things that I have is dealing with something that is a long-term plan. It really is. You know, I know that if I'll do this for 3 months, I'll be better off than I am today. But 3 months, that's like, what, 90 days? That's a long time. It's hard to get past the first 3 days of that. But what we're looking at is something like that. You have to be in it for the long haul. You know that if you became a Christian today, your journey as a child of God does not end until the day that you leave this earth. And so every day you live your life studying His Word, coming to know it. And in order to do that, you must put forth the diligence and the effort, making the time. Moses said this in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's consider here for just a moment his instructions Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 through 20. He says something similar in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But I want to draw your attention there to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And let's start there in verse 18. We'll read down through verse 20. Listen, if the children of Israel had followed these instructions, their life would have been so much better in serving the Lord. Beginning there in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. It is important that we live, that we know, that we study the Word of God and have it within our lives. We get up in the morning, we go to bed at night, we go to work, we go out to play. It doesn't matter. We need to always make certain His Word is in our hearts and in our minds. And the only way that we keep it there in any form or fashion that's going to help us to serve Him properly is by studying, by reading it, meditating upon it. You know, sometimes you may say to yourself, I don't have time today to read what I would like to read, but I'm going to take a look at it. And then for the rest of the day, I'm going to spend time meditating on it. When I mean meditating, I mean thinking about it. A lot of times, sermons come together that way. You may read a passage and say to yourself, we need to work up a sermon on that, and you look at it for like an hour and nothing ever happens. But then about 3 or 4 days, then you begin, as your brain processes what you read, it breaks it down. You begin to see it form within your mind. And this is just the natural process of studying, of reading His Word and thinking about His wonderful Word. Think about the Bereans. We won't turn and look at this, but in Acts 17, verse 11, they heard what Paul was preaching, and they searched the Scriptures daily to make certain that what Paul was teaching them was so. The same diligence we need within our life, not simply to make sure that John is preaching the right word, but to make certain that we ourselves are knowing it and growing in it. And this brings us to the idea of accurately studying His Word. It does take a bit of determination to be accurate in the understanding. It's easy to misunderstand. You see that all over the place. I mean, you can go up to someone and say, look, the car is blue, and then they will completely misunderstand and tell someone else you said something different. So listening to what we are reading and making certain that we are accurately understanding it, free from error, conforming to the truth, able to give an accurate result, that's kind of the definition there of the word accurately. This is our goal when we study the Word of God, to make sure that we have an accurate understanding of the things that He says. John chapter 5, 39 through 40. There were individuals there in this context who were students of the Word of God. And what did Jesus say to them? John chapter 5, 39 through 40. He said, you search the Scriptures, for in them, now this is why they searched the Scriptures, they believed they would find eternal life. And they weren't wrong. The problem is, the very Scriptures that they were searching in pursuit of eternal life were the ones that foretold the coming of the Messiah, and they completely ignored it and rejected it. So what does it tell us? It tells us you can read your Bible every day and still be misled, okay? And what I mean by being misled is being listening to other people, ignoring what the Scriptures teach, cherry-picking verses to apply. You know, it's neat to have a verse on your wall. You go to any type of craft fair, and there's going to be 101 plaques, pieces of wood, cardboard, something or other with a Bible passage on it. And I don't oppose that. Okay? But imagine if you could fit a whole chapter on something like that. You go into someone's house and their whole wall is like, you know, John 1. It wouldn't be quite as decorative. But the context would be there, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Not knocking the reminder verses we have to encourage us and lift us up. Not knocking that. But I'm saying there's more to the text than simply one passage. And so we need to accurately study his word. We say that they give us eternal life, but oftentimes people will study and ignore the very things that the scriptures teach. This is what the Pharisees were doing. Paul in 1 Timothy 1 verses 5 through 7, he refers to the same type of people. No, let's turn over here to that one. 1 Timothy chapter 5, chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. It says in the text, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, having turned aside to idle talk. Remember what we read a while ago, the things that we should shun, avoid, stay away from. Well, here we have individuals who have turned away from a good conscience, turned away from the commandment, turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. The point of showing these things is that it is possible to study the Bible, to read the Bible, really I should say read the Bible, and still be wrong. And you get to that point because you're not accurately studying his word. Let the text be what it says. Let it say what it says. When you're going to look at one particular verse, don't twist it, don't pull it out of context. People were doing that with the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Peter references that. He says many things, Paul says, that are kind of hard to understand, which some twist to their own destruction there. And so our goal is to rightly and accurately handle or understand the word of truth. And in order to do that, we need to study the word of God. This is our goal. And it's a wonderful goal, because the Pharisees, as we mentioned a while ago, they studied the scriptures because they thought in them was eternal life, and the very passages foretelling the coming of the Messiah, they ignored. This was not rightly handling the word of truth. This was not being skilled in the word of God. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 5, he has to reprimand the recipients of this letter because enough time had transpired where they should have already been teachers, but they had not grown the way they needed to. He says in Hebrews 5:12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who is partakers only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So this is our charge, to accurately study the word of God. Now, it will take a lot of time to do this. It takes a lot of patience. You don't do it overnight. You don't do it in 90 days either. It's going to take years of study. And it's like the building blocks. The more you study, the more you build upon those foundations, the greater your understanding. But you must start somewhere. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, the context is a little bit different, okay? But there is a bit of similarity here to what we're talking about. So let's turn over there for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. The context here, at least going back as far as verse 11, there's actually more to it than simply that. But you go back to verse 11 there, he talks about what the Lord has given the saints so that we could be equipped for the work of the ministry. There in verse 11, he talks about he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But what is kind of what happens when you have the pursuit, when you have the desire to grow, to mature, what are you going away from? Being a child, being immature. Well, notice what he says there. Till we all come, verse 13, to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. And he continues there. This can only be done if we study the Word of God. We teach the Word of God here. But when we go home, we need to make time to study the Word. We need to make time to read the Word of God to make certain that we accurately understand what it teaches. Be patient. Give yourself time. Don't give up. The next thing, though, we're kind of adding to this. There needs to be a definitive, well, you need to do this intently. Let me word it like that. And what I mean by that is concentration and attention. This is not some half effort that you put to something. We need to intently study His Word. Now, I've got three examples on the boards behind me. But those examples are not of the student. They're of the teacher. And I'll tell you why I did that. The first one talks about the apostles. And there in the text there, in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, they preach the word daily in the temple and from house to house. So the teacher, on a daily basis, would get together with the student, if you would, teacher and student, and teach them the word of God. Paul, same thing, Acts chapter 20, verse 20, he also likewise would go from house to house preaching the word of God. Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 13, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Now, you could look at that possibly in his own personal life, but I think it also means publicly to give attention to reading, teaching, exhortation, and doctrine. So there's a lot of intent there. These individuals intently were striving to teach the Word of God. So what should be required of the student? What should we do as learners of the Word of God? Should we not put forth the same level of intent to learn His Word, to want to know it? When we sit down and we listen to what is declared in the sermon or in the Bible classes, studying along with it, what is our intentions? Our intentions are to better understand the Word of God, to know His Word. So we study on it. We meditate on it. We make application of it within our life. It's a very simple concept, but if we don't intently study His Word, then studying His Word begins to fall by the wayside. So kind of help in that attention, let's come up to the next one, and that's the attitude of love for the Word of God. I've known different people, and I'm one of those type of people. We have favorite subjects we like to talk about. And you've known those people. Like I said, I'm one of these people. You mention it and realize 10 minutes later, I never should have mentioned that to him because he just won't be quiet. He likes that subject and he's going to talk on and on and on about it. Well, oftentimes the reason why people do that is because they really love the subject. They enjoy talking about it. They enjoy studying about it. They enjoy learning about it. Well, is there anything greater than the Word of God? It should be our desire, our love for His Word that propels us into a study habit that drives us to learn His Word. David is a great example of this type of love for the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Let's go to the 119th Psalm. Turning over to Psalms, let's go to Psalm 119. And let's come down in the text. Several verses in here that we could look at, but I want to start with verses 47 and 48 just to illustrate David's love for the law of the Lord. Jumping into the middle of this, he says in verse 47, Psalm 119, and I will delight myself in your commandments which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments which I love, and I'll meditate on your statutes. I don't think David was writing this without meaning, without intention. I really believe he loved the law of the Lord. He loved the commands of the Lord. Look at verse 127 in the same psalm. He says, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. And then the 167th verse, my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. It is a very simple concept to talk about, but yet one that should drive us every single day to be within His Word, spend time within His Word. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, Paul does say there are some who don't love the truth. Don't be that some. Don't be the people who don't love the truth of God's Word. Make it a part of your mind, of your life, of your desire. You might even say that loving God, because people say they love God. You ask people, you love God? Yes, I love God. Well, to love God is to love the Word of God. And you think about even what we referenced this briefly a while ago, John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, who was that Word? Well, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If you say you love God, then love the Word of God. Love what God has given us so that we might be able to live and to serve Him, to walk with Him in fellowship. The last point, and then the lesson will be yours. Talk about studying God's Word daily, and that is studying God's Word yieldingly. And this is actual word, yieldingly. It is the idea of yielding to something. It is the idea of saying, I will. You might even say obediently, but yielding to what the will is for you. So in our case, we approach the Bible, we approach the Word of God with the determination that says, if the Bible teaches me to do this, then I will do this. If the Bible directs me to live my life this way, I will do that. I will yield to the Word of God. I will be flexible. You know, the old illustration that preachers have used for years is the idea of so as a tree is bent, so grows that tree. So in other words, if you have a tree that's young, you could in some cases shape the tree when it's very flexible. But as the tree continues to grow, you're not going to be able to shape that tree once it gets to a certain point. And sometimes people will let different things within their hearts, within their minds, that causes them to become rigid in their view of the passages of the Word of God. So when it comes time, here's the passage right in front of them that they need to learn, they can't. They won't. They refuse to, because it's not what they have always thought it to be. Again, go back to the Pharisees, the example used by Christ. The goal here is for us to set our hearts and our minds to humbling ourselves, to submitting ourselves to what the Word of God has to say. And that's not always easy. Not everybody was raised by parents who obeyed the gospel when they were at an early age, okay? I've been very blessed. My parents obeyed the gospel when I was in kindergarten. So this is all I've known. But there have been a lot of people who have come to Christ without that background, without that start. Later in life, they've lived and they've had understandings, and finally, like the Apostle Paul, they come to a knowledge of the truth. And when you get to that point, you're that person, you are having to say bye to everything you thought, believed, and loved that came before. Think about the Apostle Paul. Think about what he left behind when he realized the truth and obeyed the truth. And so, for someone like that, yielding their life to the Word of God, well, that's the whole idea of repentance. The things they have to walk away from, the things they say no to. And this is where love for the Word of God comes in. It's not always easy. It's not always the first thing that we can easily overcome. In personal work, you're studying with people. And one of the situations you get yourself into is you're studying with someone who their whole family has believed something completely different. And this person, you're studying with them, what they come to understand is different from their family. And many times it's hard for people to walk away from. It's hard for people to say, wow, my family's not right. I see it in black and white right in front of me here, and my family has rejected this. And so yielding to the Lord is simply more than saying, oh, I'm going to read my Bible some and go to church some. It's about accepting, submitting ourselves unto, humbling ourselves unto all things that are God and His Word. James makes this point quite strongly in James chapter 4, beginning there in verse number 7. James chapter 4, let's start there in verse 7. Notice what James says. He says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Why would they do that? Why would someone lament and mourn and weep? The reason is because they're submitting unto God. And they realize that the whole life that they've lived before has been wrong. And they are repentant of that. They are turning away from the things that they have done. He says, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. And you cannot humble yourself before the Lord without humbling yourself, yielding yourself to his very word. And so there we have it. When we sit down to study the Word of God, how many times will we say we need to study the Word of God daily? And here's a nice little acronym to remind us what takes place when we study the Word of God daily. We do so diligently, we do so accurately, we do so with intent, but also with love and in a way that yields our hearts and our minds to the very Word of God. Got to be patient. It takes time. But if you'll do this, then we all together can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So my admonition to you is real simple. If you're not a Christian, let's sit down and study the Word of God. Let's sit down and study together. Let us help us show you what God has done for you and how sin has separated you from Him, and that Jesus Christ came to die for the remission of your sins and what you need to do to obey the gospel's call unto salvation. We will tell you the very words that Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you believe that Christ is the Son of God and you already have this knowledge, then we call upon you this morning to act upon it, to repent and be buried with Christ through baptism so you'll rise up to walk in newness of life. If you are a Christian and you've not been living your life in His Word, then it's time to change. Repent, ask God to forgive you. Let's get back to a study of His Word and growing in that grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're subject to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.